Hello, this is Liz. It's podcast 6.
This is Jo. Find Your Balance, podcast 6. Welcome.
Welcome. That was really smooth for us. We normally have about 10 zillion false starts.
I don't know if that bodes well or not, really.
No, I don't know. So the name of the podcast, Jo, is...
why do I always have to come up with that title?
It's quite funny because I've got the notes right by me. And yeah. Can't see. The name of the podcast is Why You Don't Have to Be Bad to Be Good and Unhappy or Uncomfortable? Question mark.
They don't have to sound as negative. They're not sounding as negative as
that wasn't negative. I made that as perky.
No, the unhappy or the uncomfortable. It's like, oh God, it's like Sophie's Choice.
Most people won't have a clue what Sophie's Choice is.
Oh, okay.
Well, unless the older people of our audience.
Probably
will.
Not a bad thing.
No. Yeah. It's a good film, though.
It is a good film. Yeah.
Love Meryl Streep.
Love Meryl.
If you don't know Sophie's Choice, watch it. But maybe watch a comedy afterwards because it's quite
or
depressing.
Or before.
It's quite depressing.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. On to our subject.
Yes. So, should we start with why you don't have to be bad to be good?
Yeah.
Do you know what that means, Jo?
Yeah, I do. It's about, you know, we often see clients or give workshops to people. And generally, those people that come to see us, I would say the large percentage of them have issues. Well, we all have issues. But quite often, people that come to see us in any scenario tend to come when they are at quite a low ebb.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that, actually. Just a butt in. Because you're giving me
already?
a real look there. Oh, you butted in. But I've got something interesting that, well, actually, I remember when I very first started looking into coaching before we started training, one of the things I really liked about the guy that trained us initially, which was Ali Campbell, was that he noticed the difference between Americans and English or Europeans in how they saw the world. And whereas Europeans or British will come to you for a specific reason, one reason that they'll come and see you about. In America, somebody will come to you to just feel better or to improve their life. But more often than not, in the UK, people will come to you for a specific reason and then go away having had their life changed.
Yeah, so that continues.
That's what conceited, doesn't it? Having changed their life.
What I was trying to say was that the people that come to see us generally are feeling quite low and down, and as you say, you know, like in America, they don't do that. They use it as a continuing, you know, sort of
way of
therapy,
improving their life,
way
yeah.
of improving. So, you know, even when they are starting to feel better, they still continue to go and see their coach or their therapist or whoever it is that they're
or just
that,
do the techniques,
helping them,
just
or
do the
techniques.
Yeah.
So it's and yeah, you're absolutely right. Very much in Europe and certainly in Britain, that we are very much, I have a problem, I need someone to help me fix it.
That one problem.
Yeah.
And normally, to be fair, that problem isn't even the problem, funnily enough.
That's very true. So yeah, in terms of the title of, you know, what we're talking about, it's you don't have to be bad. You don't have to be at your lowest ebb.
In a bad place.
Yeah. To come and, you know, get some help or some advice or some coaching techniques or some ways to help fulfill your dreams or make your life slightly better. And once you have had that and things are starting to get better, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing that you continue those things, you know.
Yeah. These things are actually a lifetime, lifestyle
yeah,
changing thing.
I always say to my clients as well, there's no finish line. You know, there is no, okay, I'm going to do all the work, I'm going to get to a really good place and I've crossed the line. You know, and now what? There is no finish line. It's a continuous journey that you're going on, that you're exploring and pushing yourself, and you're going to have ups and downs and bumps in the road. But, you know, from our point of view, from, you know, the stuff that we've learned and we pass on, the techniques that we use, it's about being able to cope with those bumps in the road a lot better.
Yes, a lot better.
A lot better.
I like that. Yeah. It's quite sweet.
A lot.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's about understanding that you don't need to hit rock bottom for a start, but also that when things are going well, it's really good to pay attention to yourself as well.
Yeah.
Because that's generally when you start to, say, burn out. You generally will burn out because things are actually going quite well and you're overdoing it. You don't want to stop the train of success as you see it. And you will be pushing the boundaries. Now, you can push the boundaries, but you need to obviously look after yourself while you're doing it.
Yeah.
Which is why actually a lot of people at high octane jobs have coaches, because they help them deal with working at that extreme level. Overall, it's about nourishing yourself. with good things. And it's a bit, I know, and I know you're going to raise your eyes at me because I always relate things
to
that.
You always say I raise my eyes. I don't.
She does. Well, yeah, they won't know, will they?
Or will they? Can you, hear me know. Raising my eyes, guys?
So basically, it's about nourishing. It's about nourishing your mind as well as your body. So when you do a diet, you don't just diet. Well, a lot of people do, actually, to be fair. Diet until they lose the weight, and then they don't. Then they go back to being how they were before. It's exactly the same.
That's why diets are bad.
Diets are bad. It's about changing your mind and the way you think about things, so your brain is nourished in the same way, so you continue to be able to cope with things in your life. And that's why we are saying, in our little way, things don't have to be bad.
When your brain's nourished, does it go, apples, rather than, cake?
Yes.
Okay. Just to clear that up.
Yes, that's exactly what my brain does. Exactly that. Yeah, but anyway, this is why we chose the title, where you don't have to be bad to be good. I'm still looking down at the title. Because I wanted to emphasise the fact that I think it's important that we all nourish our brains, even when we're not feeling bad.
Yeah, we all look after ourselves and use whoever we need to help do that.
Yes.
To continue that, so that when that dip comes, we can get out of that dip much quicker.
Exactly. We've got the techniques. We've learned how we have to do it. And overall, if you're learning anything, and certainly a lot of techniques that we teach, they become muscle memory in the same way that if you change your diet, it becomes the way that you eat.
Yeah.
If you do these techniques, it becomes the way that you live. And that was my point. I was just quite interested this week because I'd read something, I can't remember where it was, where somebody was talking about how they didn't feel that they needed help because their problem was resolved. And it just made me think about how many times I've heard that. That people just see things as singular units, singular problems, not on the whole, not their life. I think actually it's interesting. I have had some clients in the past, or people that were interested in having coaching, that have talked to me and said, oh, they've gone through times in the past where they had a problem and that would have been good, but they're okay now because the new job has started, or the they very much put one thing as the reason they're okay or not okay.
Yeah.
So I've started my new job, so I'm okay.
Yeah.
Until the next time, I'm not okay. Yeah. And it actually, well-being is all the time. So it goes back to our original happy and not happy when.
Yes.
Because actually, we, again, each time we find the thing that we think is going to make us happy, we're okay for a bit, and then we're not. And then we are, and then we find the little things that make us feel like we're okay. The new pair of shoes, or the instant gratification, or for a while we're okay. But essentially, it's about feeding your soul.
Yeah, and as human beings, we're not going to be happy 100% of the time. Yeah. And it's about acknowledging that. But the whole principle of what we try to help people with is having that acknowledgement and that understanding that you can't be 100% happy all the time. But what you can have are tools to help you get there much, much quicker. And noticing what it is that works for you, as well as the things that don't work for you.
Yeah, know? Yeah. I spoke to someone last week about flying, and I said about coming in to see us about flight. She can't fly on a plane at the moment. And I said, oh, we've had loads of clients to do with flying. She said, oh, will I learn to love flying? And I said, no, but you'll be able to fly.
Yeah. I don't think anything really goes unless they're flying first class. Well, no one gets on a plane
like
going,
flying. I presume a pilot likes to fly.
This is the most amazing experience.
No, some
ever.
People do.
Yeah, but well,
why
okay,
you'd
want to
be cooped up in a tin can and find that exciting? I do not know, but I mean, yeah, obviously the travel bit of it is nice, but the point being is, it's you don't just suddenly, you're not waving a magic wand and making someone love something, but you're making it possible for that person to do it because they've made it so impossible in their own minds.
Yeah.
You're just freeing them up to do it. But, you know, it won't be, you still won't like it. It's like spiders. You're still not going to like spiders, but you'll be able to tolerate them.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it comes back to, you know, once you are in a sort of good place, there's no harm in continuing to help yourself and aid yourself, or have others help you, you know, if you've had sessions, to continue that work, so that, you know, when you do hit the bump in the road, you cross over the road, you cross over the bump, and you get going much, much quicker every yes. time. And that's sort of the ethos of everything that we sort of do, really. It's about, you know, finding your balance in what works for you and maintaining that. And if you need to keep seeing people or keep exercising your mind,
yeah, or learning, exactly, you know, it's not learning about
to maintain
seeing,
that's just what you should be doing. Anyone, you know, sort of, you know, sensible enough would do that.
Okay, so that summarizes the bad, why you don't have to be bad to be good. But moving on to the next subject, which is unhappy or uncomfortable, or uncomfortable or unhappy, which way round? This is your one. You wanted to talk about this. And actually, I've got a perfect thing. You're not going to be very happy with me because I've just sort of sprung this. I just thought of this off the top of my head. But there's a really nice poem that you've got that you do in the workshops. I love it. And actually, it really fits. Now that I'm thinking about it, it really fits your unhappy, uncomfortable thing.
Which poem is that?
Which I nearly was then because I didn't take a breath.
I still don't know which poem.
The one about, sorry, don't you know what I'm talking about? Can no. you not read my mind?
No, haven't got that far yet.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
The one about the hole.
Alrighty.
You know what I mean?
The hole in the pavement, you mean?
Yes, I mean
yeah,
the hole
just
in
to
the
clarify
pavement.
That, everybody. The hole in the pavement.
Yeah. You know which one I mean? Can you
yeah,
know
I
off
do.
The top
yeah.
of your head?
No, I have no idea off the top of my
okay,
head.
Okay, well, I might need to give you some time to go and get it.
I can get it, yeah. It's...
I know where it is.
It's a poem... I think it was in the Ruby Wax.
Oh, yeah, it was. Oh, God, we're literally a podcast that's like a Ruby Wax fan good. Podcast
yeah,
now, aren't we?
Yeah, it's a Ruby.
It's getting a bit embarrassing.
So, yeah, that I use it quite often. I use it in workshops.
Yeah, it's not actually Joe's... story, by the way.
Oh gosh, no, I'm far
sorry,
away from
Joe.
Being that
I was giving you
and,
praise yeah. and then I was taking
yeah,
it away.
Giveth and taketh away. Yeah, it's a poem. It's called Autobiography in Five Short Chapters.
Who's it by?
It's by Portia Nelson. Chapter 1. I walk down the street. There is a deep hole in the pavement. I fall in. I am lost. I am hopeless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find a way out. Chapter 2. I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the pavement. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place. But it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3. I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the pavement. I see it is there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately. Chapter 4. I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the pavement. I walk around it. Chapter 5. I walk down another street.
I love that.
It's good, isn't it?
It's fantastic. It's probably more relevant to our second part of our podcast today.
Yeah.
So that could lead nicely on
yeah.
to unhappy or uncomfortable. Is that the right way around?
Yeah, I think this is really about, you know, change and whether or not people, I think people quite often, all of us can pick times in our lives where we've been in situations or sat in situations that we feel, you know, not unhappy in, you know, whether it's a job that we've carried on doing way beyond the time that we should really have, you know, walked away from, or a relationship or any situation that we feel has made us really, really unhappy. And there are, you know, lots of people that I know, lots of clients that I've spoke to who have those situations. And for them, it's easier to stay in that situation than it is to make a change, because of the uncomfortableness that that change might bring, whether that's, you know, you know, moving out or leaving your job and starting somewhere fresh, or, you know, having to meet new people. It takes you away from the familiarity of being unhappy, of that sort of feeling and scenario that you've been in for so long. And when you start a different scenario and you have to put yourself out there and you have to put yourself in a different situation, a situation that you're maybe not you know, as comfortable with because it's new to you, then, you know, that is a different challenge. And sometimes people avoid that, and so they stay unhappy rather than allow themselves to, for a short period of time, feel a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit out of their comfort zone because it's something new, because they've made a change. And that, for humans, is quite a difficult thing to ask people to sort of step away from feeling unhappy. And allowing yourself to feel a little bit uncomfortable for a short period of time before you start to mould yourself into a new scenario.
Yeah, that's really true. That people just, they don't want to be uncomfortable.
They'd rather be unhappy. Yeah. They'd rather be neither. But
yeah,
if they have to choose at this point in time, if you say to people, they'll come up with a whole load of reasons as to why they can't leave their job, or they can't leave their partner, or they can't make the change that they need to make. And part of that reason actually is because they don't want to feel uncomfortable outside of the thing that they've known for so long.
Yeah.
That unhappiness.
That still feels safer than the thing that they don't know.
And more comfortable.
But not happy.
Yeah.
So we won't step our toes out to just try and see if it might be different.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for anybody listening now, probably we can all think of a time where we've maybe outstayed the situation, whether it be a job or, you know, a relationship or a scenario where we've perhaps stayed too long because for various reasons, maybe we're hoping it might get better. But you know that feeling of unhappiness when you don't want to be there anymore. You don't want to be continuing to do that thing that you've been doing that has been making you unhappy.
Yeah.
And yet the prospect of changing that is actually more terrifying.
Or seems much more difficult
than actually sitting in that, you know, sort of web of unhappiness.
Which
that
is
you've
where
got
you're
used to.
Sitting on the other side of the bus thing actually comes in, because it all correlates really. That was from a podcast. That was from podcast one, I think.
Don't know, maybe podcast three or something. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I think it was about podcast one. But you were talking about the sitting on the other side of the bus to change things up, and actually, it's really funny because people think that it takes something massive to change, to feel uncomfortable. And actually it doesn't. In order to start those changes from being unhappy to uncomfortable, you only have to change a slight small thing, don't you?
Yeah, and when I say uncomfortable, it doesn't necessarily mean that it is going to be uncomfortable, but quite often
you think
people
it's
find
going to be uncomfortable.
Change quite, you know, nerve-wracking and uncomfortable when you create scenarios in your head that mean that it's going to be difficult, when actually quite often the reality is it's not as difficult as you've made out that it's
going to be, because you've made it bigger in your head.
And so if you think about it, all of us have got, you know, as I say, all of us have got scenarios that have existed where we have probably stayed in that scenario and felt more unhappy because it's easier than being, you know, making that change and feeling slightly out of your comfort zone. And that as humans is what we do, but we don't have to do that. We can, you know, the more that we make subtle changes, as you're saying, it can be small changes, tiny little things that start to shift you, which then take you towards that sort of edge of them making a big change, and it doesn't feel as uncomfortable, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think, well, it may not, any of it, may not, so none of it may feel uncomfortable. I really am
none of it or any of it.
I feel uncomfortable now.
Do you? Do you feel uncomfortable?
None of it may feel uncomfortable. It's all in your head, really. The discomfort is in your head.
Yes.
You're making it up.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say that you might not be in a situation where you're feeling nervous, mm-hmm. but actually nervous is good. Nervous means you care, and nervous means it's different.
Well, basically, it's like the poem says, you just keep falling down the hole because it's the hole, and you know it's the hole.
You know,
at some point you have to realise that you don't need to keep falling down the hole anymore, and you can actually walk around the hole and then end up walking down a totally different street.
Yeah, I really like that poem, actually. It's one of my favourites. Okay, so that sort of summarises unhappy, uncomfortable. I think overall, the thing is, it's important to remember that
you always have a choice.
Yes, you do always have a choice. And also, it's not as difficult to get out of that choice.
Yes, yeah, sometimes you've made it a lot bigger in your head.
That's a bad choice that she can never get out of. You've got to watch the film again.
Okay,
yeah, I'm just
right,
saying,
okay.
There are some
Sophie's
choices.
Back.
But overall, to
no,
be...
you generally, we've always made it a lot bigger in our heads than it needs to
be. So... Exactly that. And it doesn't take an awful lot of change to actually lift you out of that unhappy state.
That, Lisbelle, is correct.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so, Jo, do you have an empowering question?
Yeah, I do. It's a hot sunny day today and the sun is out. And the sun for me...
It's the hot sunny day.
The hot sunny day,
in
yeah.
the UK, it's the only one.
But the sun for me, and I suspect for quite a few of us, really energises me. It really makes me feel, you know, so much better.
Happy.
And
alive.
Happy and alive and a bit more of a spring in my step. So I guess the empowering question that I have is what is it that energises you? And when was the last time that you experienced that?
Yeah, and how can you...
And how, if you haven't experienced it for a while, how can you
introduce it to your
introduce
life
it into your life? Yeah. Thank you.
That was kind of my question,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah. So yeah, what energizes you and how can you have it in your life a bit more?
Yes, I like that. Yeah, how to introduce it.
If the answer is the sun, you might have to move to another country.
No, apparently we're going to have a heat wave.
Okay. In McGaskill.
We are.
Okay.
Stand by.
Right.
Anyway, so let's hope we do. So for the rest of July...
Yeah.
I always look at Joe and I'm trying to remember what month it is. For the rest of July, let's hope we have a lovely heat wave and enjoy everybody. And why not think about being a little uncomfortable?
But in a good way.
Yeah. And don't forget, things I have to plug at the end. Our website, which is www.equicoaching.com. Our Facebook page, which is Equicoaching. And our Instagram, which is Equicoaching. It's just all Equicoaching.
Equicoaching.
I always say the same thing at the end. And don't forget the book, because the more reviews I get, the more they push it on Amazon. And it's actually in local bookshops as well. So if you see it anywhere, please go out and buy it. And if you like it, review it and give it lots of praise if you like it, obviously.
It's called Who Am I? And it's by Lisbelle.
Thank you, Jo. Thank you. Anyway, enjoy your July. See you all soon.
Bye.
See you.